What was something disturbing you saw you were definitely not supposed to see? Story 1. One time when I was around 9 years old, I woke up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. I saw that the television was still on in my parents' room through the small opening in their bedroom door. My bathroom is near their room. I went to check on them, and when I opened the door, I witnessed something I was not supposed to see. Shocked, I quickly ran back to my room. The next morning at breakfast, I asked my mom if there was any more juice left, and she said, "There's no more. Your dad has the last cup." Then my dad said, "You can drink the rest if you want." He offered me his cup of juice, and just looking at the rim made me feel sick to my stomach. I am 20 now, and I still cannot believe I remember that moment so vividly. Story 2. The salaries of everyone working at the company I was employed at became accidentally exposed. It was a smaller startup digital advertising agency with about 60 employees in total, and someone from human resources was making copies of a document that listed everyone's salary, leaving the original on the copier glass. I found it and returned it, but not before noticing that a couple of new hires in the same position as me were earning more. After handing it back, I met with my manager and used this unexpected discovery to my advantage, negotiating a raise for myself, along with a tacit promise that I would not share what I had seen with anyone else in the company. Story 3. I worked for a downtown metropolitan hotel for a long time, and I witnessed situations I was never meant to see. Probably the worst was when an older man checked in late at night, around 1 in the morning, which was not unusual since people travel at different times. At first he was alone. About an hour later he requested something simple, like a towel or blanket, so I dispatched our runner to deliver it. When the runner returned, he mentioned feeling uneasy because he thought he saw someone inside, and the man was trying very hard to block the view of the room. Since we were trained to take potential safety concerns seriously, I asked maintenance to cut the power so we would have a reason to check. We went up together to apologize for the inconvenience because the man was also a high-tier member. Sure enough, we heard a child hiding in the bathroom. The man immediately tried to shut us down, attempting everything from using his membership status to offering bribes. We contacted the authorities right away and let them take over the situation. Story 4. We were all computer science students in our last semester, and my friend was checking his grades online for one of his classes. He noticed that his student identification number appeared in the website address, so he asked a friend for his identification number. When he replaced his own number in the address, it displayed his friend's grades. They tested it once more to be sure it was not a glitch. Then he responsibly reported the vulnerability to the school's information technology department. A few days later, however, he received an email from the dean's office requiring him to attend a meeting for academic dishonesty and defend himself against possible expulsion. Right in the semester he was about to graduate, he was a nervous wreck that entire week before meeting with the dean. Clearly, he had not done anything wrong, but to them he appeared to be someone accessing other students' records. It was absurd, especially since we knew several people working in the information technology department because we were computer science students ourselves. Instead of acknowledging that he had helped by pointing out the issue, they treated him like a violator. In the end, everything worked out. I believe he had to write an official apology letter to the school and the students whose grades he had seen, which was pointless since they were his friends and none of them minded. Story 5. There was a time when my sister was with a man who was abusive, and they had 2 children. On one occasion, I noticed inappropriate magazines openly displayed. Another time, while outside, I saw suspicious plants hidden in the shed. Later, I found out he had also been contacting underage girls online. My sister knew about these things yet did nothing. Eventually, she managed to get away from him. After he tried to harm her with a knife, my parents stepped in and quietly helped her and the children leave in the middle of the night, moving them to a safe place. For about a year, they stayed with us until she was able to fully start over. He later discovered where we lived and once showed up threatening my dad, so we contacted the authorities. We told them what we could without getting my sister into further trouble, and my parents arranged for her to move. He was eventually sentenced to 6 months in prison and a year in rehabilitation. About 3 years ago, after an argument with my parents, my sister stopped us from seeing the kids. We later found out she had started seeing him again. When my parents visited her place, They found holes in the walls and damage to the doors and entryway, confirming the situation had once again become unstable. Story 6. My dad's expression when he listed all the friends he lost during the Vietnam War is something I will never forget. He rarely speaks about it because of post-traumatic stress, though sometimes he confides in my mom when they are alone. At that time, I was a teenager coming in to borrow the car keys. The door was open, so I walked right in, only to realize my dad was reciting names. I looked over and saw the anguish on his face, tears streaming. I knew I had intruded, and my mom quickly tossed me the keys. Later, my mom told me he started reciting names again and continued for more than 20 minutes, on top of what I had already heard. My dad has many flaws, but I know he loves me. I love him too, despite everything. I would not wish the pain I saw on his face upon anyone. When people ask me why I do not support my country's wars, this is sometimes what I share. I am tired of young men going off to fight, only to return harmed in body or mind, struggling for the care they were promised. I am tired of wealthy leaders sending ordinary young men to battle for political and financial gain. I am tired of families being torn apart, both here and abroad. That anguished face of my dad is forever burned into my memory. One last thing, I dislike Richard Nixon. Strange, perhaps, since he died when I was still a child. But I know he disrupted peace talks for his own advantage, which led to more conflict. Because of that, my dad was deployed the following year. I believe his life would have been much better if he had not spent 2 years in that environment, and our family life would have been different without the post-traumatic stress moments that shaped our household. Back then, no one even knew what caused his reactions, not even him. Writing this feels like a rant, but I needed to finally let it out. Story 7. Back in high school, I was in honors anatomy and physiology while also battling a serious case of senioritis. I wanted a good grade on the final to keep my A and maintain my grade point average for the quarter, but I had not studied at all. On the day of the final, which started at 8:30 in the morning, I arrived at school around 7:45 to try some last-minute studying on the human skull. I was sitting outside the classroom when my teacher walked by carrying a stack of papers and her laptop. She went inside, set them down, then came back out. Passing me, she asked if I could help her carry more things from her car while she ran to the office. Being the teacher's helper I was, I agreed. At the car, she placed a single sheet of paper on top of the stack she handed me and told me to bring it into the classroom and start letting students in. When I set the stack down inside, I realized the top paper was the answer key for the final. The test had 100 questions plus 50 diagram identifications. It was going to be tough. I discreetly took out my phone, photographed each page, and sat in my usual spot in the far back, hidden from her view by stacks of papers and books. As luck would have it, the photos matched the version of the test I received. After the curve, I scored 115%. The teacher never suspected anything because I was known as a good student, well-liked by staff, and very involved in school activities and community events. Story 8. My wife and I vacationed in London a couple of years ago. After dinner, we decided to explore some local pubs since we wanted a genuine experience rather than tourist spots, so we followed where locals seemed to go. Around 11 at night, we ended up at a lively place with a younger crowd. I really needed to use the restroom, but I couldn't find one. I asked the man working the front door, and he told me it was upstairs, first door on the left. I thanked him and made my way through. The stairs were oddly blocked by a table, so I had to ask a group sitting there to let me pass. They gave me puzzled looks, as if those stairs were not meant to be used, but I was desperate. Upstairs was a hallway with about 5 doors. The first one on the left was just a dark room with empty kegs. I tried another, just storage. Then I noticed light under the last door. Thinking it must be the restroom, I opened it, only to find a group of people in a sharp business attire seated around an oval table. Laptops open, clearly in a serious meeting. They froze, staring at me, and I stared back. Finally, one asked what I was doing. I explained I was told the restroom was here. They looked confused, then one said there was no restroom in the building and asked me to leave. I apologized and went back down, completely bewildered. My urge had vanished by then, so I returned to my wife, who was enjoying fish and chips, and told her what happened. We laughed it off and ordered another round. Moments later, one of the sharply dressed men came downstairs, whispered to the security guard, and pointed at me. The guard then told us we had to leave, even saying,
"Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
Not to worry about our tab. We stepped outside and waited for our ride, with the bouncer staring at us the entire time. When our car arrived, he suddenly laughed loudly and wished us a good night in a cheerful tone. To this day, I still have no idea why there was a business meeting at 11 at night in a pub, why the guard sent me upstairs, or why they insisted we leave afterward. It remains one of the strangest experiences of my life. Story 9. It was about a year after my mom passed away, when I was 11 and my sister was 13. At the time, our relationship was rocky, though we had occasional good moments. One weekend, she had a band competition, and I was left in her care. When it was her turn to perform, she handed me her phone. Out of curiosity, I started scrolling through it, expecting to find eighth grade gossip or maybe a crush she had. Instead, I found troubling photos that showed how much she had been hurting inside. I didn't understand it at the time, but it made me instantly rethink all of our arguments and realize how much pain we were all going through as a family. I didn't talk to her about it until years later, but the discovery gave me the perspective to change the way I treated her. Today, my sister and I are best friends, and while those images still stay with me, they also mark the turning point that helped strengthen our bond. Story 10. My sister was a bit of a snoop and once came across very inappropriate emails between my stepmom and a man named Paul, who was a co-worker of both my dad and stepmom. As background, my dad owns the family business where he originally met my stepmom, and Paul also worked there. Over the summers, my sister and I worked there too and had met him several times. One day, we stopped by my dad's house unexpectedly to borrow a cooler for the long weekend. From the driveway, we could see the back patio, and there was a man lounging on our outdoor couch while my stepmom walked out carrying drinks, dressed casually and laughing. When she spotted us, her face instantly showed panic. We walked up and she introduced this man as Bill. The problem was we had met him many times before as Paul. She tried to excuse it by saying they were just stopping by quickly to pick something up, but the situation was painfully awkward. We all knew the truth without saying it. We grabbed the cooler and left, and the tension that already existed between us only grew stronger after that day. Story 11. When I was 14, my parents divorced. My dad moved us to a lower middle class neighborhood and soon started drinking heavily. Before long, he was rarely home, leaving me alone most nights. I began rebelling, smoking marijuana, and hanging out with a small group of reckless friends. One Thursday night around 1 a.m, we all snuck out to gather in front of a gas station, hoping to convince someone to buy us alcohol. We stood there laughing, pretending to be grown, when suddenly a gray truck screeched around the corner and stopped. A man in his late 20s jumped out looking furious. He turned toward a white truck that had pulled up and raised his arms. From that truck, a younger man yelled angrily, then revved the engine. A woman in the passenger seat screamed desperately for him to stop, but he hit the gas, striking the man in the street. I will never forget the sound of his head hitting the pavement or the way his arm twisted unnaturally under the wheel. In that moment, I knew I was still just a kid, but looking back, that night forced me to grow up. My friends all ran except for one older guy from our group, 18 years old, who worked weekends at a fast food place. I thought he was running to help, so I followed. Instead, he knelt over the injured man, laughed, and took his wallet before telling me to run. I froze, horrified. The man lay there speaking quietly in Spanish, repeating prayers and begging for mercy. I knelt down and whispered that I was sorry, that help was coming, but he didn't seem to hear me. His words were directed to God. As sirens grew closer, I rushed to the gas station and told the clerk what I saw. He yelled at me to go home, so I ran. That night I cried until morning and soon after moved to my mother's, cutting ties with those so-called friends forever. 23 years later, I still hear that man's voice and see his pain. I know I was just a kid, but I carry the weight of that memory with me always. Story 12. This is a long one, so get ready. My mom has been married to my stepfather for basically my whole life. She is very religious and often judgmental toward others. A few years back, I noticed her sending affectionate messages to someone. When I asked about it, she said it was just a female friend, but she had never shown that kind of warmth toward her other acquaintances. Suspicious, I told my stepsister, though we had no idea what was really going on. At the time, my mom and stepdad were on a tight budget, so in the winter, my stepsister and I would sleep in the living room. They would put a few sponges on the floor to sleep on, which I always found odd but never questioned. My little brother often slept beside my mom, and once I managed to sneak in next to him without her noticing. She had an old iPod she mainly used for small things, but it was also where she sent messages to this person. Out of curiosity, I tried to glance at the screen, even though my poor eyesight made it hard. The few words I caught suggested something inappropriate, and she seemed fine with it. I was shocked and disturbed. I never told her what I saw, and I still don't want to. Later, I noticed a video message from that same person, and it turned out to be a man. She was communicating with him while married and raising 4 kids, and even now she still stays in touch with him. Story 13. I've only ever told my family and closest friends this. I was doing an inspection for fire extinguishers in a funeral home. Normally, I enjoyed the job. Places like power plants were the best because it meant walking around all day and seeing interesting things. But this funeral home was different. Walking room to room with the owner, who already had a somewhat detached way of talking, he explained how he got into the business. Then it happened. We entered one room, and I suddenly came face to face with something I will never forget. An elderly woman who had recently passed was lying uncovered on a table, positioned in such a way that her limbs seemed unnaturally raised. The owner apologized quickly, but nothing could erase the shock I felt. Funerals had never been hard for me before, since the deceased were always clothed, but this was entirely different. I was 23 at the time, and the image haunted me. That night I dreamed about her, and even now at 26, I still picture the scene clearly. Since then, I avoid looking directly into caskets because the memory always comes back. Story 14. I once discovered that my neighbor was having an affair. I was homesick from school one day when I noticed her staying home too, which was unusual. A little later, her child's soccer coach showed up. From my living room window, I could clearly see them through her large front window. I told my best friend a few days later, and before long, the entire school seemed to know. I watched as her daughter learned the truth from her classmates, and it was heartbreaking. Later that night, the woman came to my house and cornered me in my room, crouching beside me for almost 45 minutes, demanding that I say I had lied. She knew I hadn't, and I knew she knew. Yet she still pressured me, a child, to protect her secret. That was the first time I realized not every adult deserves respect. Months later, the soccer coach's wife found a receipt for expensive jewelry, saw my neighbor wearing it, and a confrontation followed. A fight broke out, divorces soon followed, and eventually my neighbor married the coach. Looking back, I felt guilty, but I was only in 5th grade. At the time, I didn't understand how serious it all was. I only thought I had a story about something shocking I saw, not realizing it would contribute to the unraveling of marriages. Story 15. I am a criminal defense attorney, and although this case is resolved, I will keep some details vague. One of my clients had been arrested for trafficking, but agreed to cooperate by helping set up a larger bust. The district attorney's office was strangely slow in handling the case, and despite my repeated questions, no one would tell me why. My client also had no answers from inside jail. I suspected what was happening, but no one would confirm it. Since my client was a confidential informant, I couldn't openly discuss it with other attorneys. The truth came out unexpectedly when I was at the jail interviewing a different client. I was on the public side, separated by glass, while just a few feet away in the private attorney room, another defense attorney was loudly arguing with his client, the very man my client had helped bust. Those rooms are not soundproof, and attorney-client privilege doesn't mean much when you're shouting. From their conversation, I learned that the attorney had no idea who the informant was, while his client refused to reveal the name. They disagreed bitterly on whether the case had any chance at trial. The attorney even warned his client that if the informant testified, the case would be lost. I realized at that moment why the district attorney's office had been stalling and withholding a report from me. Thanks to that overheard argument, I understood their strategy and was able to resolve my client's case much more effectively. All of it happened simply because a private conversation spilled over loud enough for me to hear. Story 16. After September 11th, I was living in apartments in New Jersey, and one of my neighbors turned out to be a suspect. One morning around 4 o'clock, I was on my way out for a run. When I opened my apartment door, I walked straight into a scene with about 25 law enforcement officials, Secret Service, FBI, and others. They were in the middle of apprehending my neighbor, and I saw weapons I had never seen before. As a former Marine and a weapons enthusiast, I usually recognize different firearms, but these looked nothing like standard rifles. They were chrome, with strange wires attached. No visible magazines or cartridges. After they secured their suspect, every agent placed those unusual weapons into special cases and filed into a black van. What stuck with me is how organized it all was, almost like they were hiding the equipment. The night before, on September 10th, I had spoken with the man's son. He was supposed to fly back to Jordan, but he laughed and told me he would never fly the next day. In hindsight, the son clearly knew something. Another odd moment. The officers knew my name as soon as I stepped outside. One radioed in that I was awake and leaving, but they left me alone. They were completely focused on hiding those strange weapons. Story 17. My parents once asked me to take the trash out. I was watching a movie with a friend and told them I would do it afterward. They agreed. About an hour later, the movie ended, and I got up to take the trash out. We had a door that led directly into the kitchen, but it was narrow and cluttered, so most of us walked through the living room to reach the kitchen. I stepped into the living room and unexpectedly saw my mom on top of my dad, both of them shocked as I entered. My mom quickly got up and put her shirt back on. I pretended not to notice anything and continued into the kitchen, then squeezed through the side door afterward. The next day, I couldn't look either of them in the eye. It was about 9:30 at night, and with guests in the house, anyone could have walked in. They knew I had been asked to take the trash out, and I had no idea what they were thinking. Story 18. Back in 2012, I was working as a room cleaner at a well-known hotel on an island outside of Stockholm. The ruling government was staying there for a summer break conference. My job was to go room to room, always knocking if there was no do not disturb sign, just in case. Toward the end of my shift, I had only the suite left. I knocked twice with no answer, so I opened the door and began cleaning. Everything seemed normal until I heard someone in the bedroom. I knocked again, and a male voice called out, "Don't come in!" A moment later, my female coworker stepped out wrapped in a blanket, and I saw the Swedish Prime Minister, Fredrik Reinfeldt, sitting on the bed in just his boxers. Not long after, he and his wife, who was also in government, divorced, which caused tension in their party. My coworker swore me to secrecy, so it never reached the press. We ended up dating for 2 years, and sometimes we would laugh about how surreal that moment had been. Story 19. My mom and dad had their own bathroom, separate from the kids' bathroom. When I was around 12, I decided I wanted to use the grown-up bathroom. We had guests over that night, so while everyone was downstairs talking, I went upstairs. On top of the toilet, I found a line of white powder, a cut straw, and a credit card. Somehow, even at 12, I knew what it was supposed to be. I ran downstairs and told my dad there were substances in the bathroom. He laughed and didn't believe me at first, so I dragged him upstairs and showed him. He asked how I knew, and I said, "I don't know, it just is. I promise it's not mine," which he still teases me about. My dad quietly told my mom, and they figured out it belonged to one of her friends who had kept disappearing into the bathroom. That was the end of their friendship. The most unsettling part was that the woman had brought her baby with her that day. I never found out what became of her afterward, but I know my mom cut ties completely. Story 20. One night I was outside and accidentally witnessed something on the patio of a bar. I caught the eye of someone involved and realized, to my surprise, it was one of my friends. On another occasion, while smoking near my parking spot, I saw a couple pull up. The man got out fine, but his girlfriend slumped out of the passenger side and hit the pavement. When I asked if she needed help, she suddenly jumped up as if nothing had happened and stumbled inside. The man brushed it off with, "Long day at the brewery, haha." I had seen them before, always buying alcohol, but it wasn't until later when she came home alone with a large case of beer and paper bags that I realized she might be struggling with drinking. In my building, there was also a woman with dementia. I never realized how often she went in and out until I was home for a few months, and I saw her leaving and returning every 15 minutes. When I spoke with her, she often said she was looking for her son and that they were supposed to be going to the casino. I assumed her son lived elsewhere and only paid her bills until one day I saw him and a neighbor chasing her down the street. I realized I had seen him many times, but always with a hat on. He is a professor at the local university, and I never knew if I should tell him how often his mother left the house during the day. Another moment that stayed with me happened when I was 4 years old. I heard a strange sound, almost like laughter, but different. I followed it into my parents' room and found my mom sitting on the bed crying while my dad held her. When I asked why she was upset, he told me my grandmother had passed away. That was the first time I ever heard an adult cry. Story 21. I once found my mother's journal and learned things that shook me deeply. She had written about being hurt by her brothers when she was growing up. I also found entries written after my dad had cheated on her, where she described feeling like she should end her life so that he could use the insurance money to raise us. She wrote that she thought we would be better off without her. I had struggled with insomnia as a kid, and one night she caught me reading the journal. I begged her not to go through with what she had written and made her promise me she wouldn't. My dad's belongings were packed on the porch at the time. In the end, my parents stayed together, and things seemed to settle down afterward. I still love my dad and even try to understand why he made his mistakes, but it doesn't make it right, especially because it wasn't the first time he had hurt her like that. To this day, it haunts me. It also shaped how I view relationships. No matter how bad things get between my husband and me, I know I would never betray him, and I trust he would never betray me. Before we got married, we had serious discussions about this and agreed that if either of us cheated, it would be the end, because the damage it causes can never truly go away. Story 22. I used to live near a large outdoor amphitheater. Late at night, I would often walk my dogs around the area. One night, I discovered that the amphitheater was left unlocked, so I wandered inside with my dogs. At first, we explored near the entrance, then walked further toward the stage. Looking out into the hundreds of seats in the dark, I suddenly saw a group of about 5 people sitting directly in the center. Each wore a mask shaped like a different animal, with lights shining only on their faces. They sat completely still, all facing the stage, and the sight froze me in place. It looked like something straight out of a horror movie, as if they were performing a ritual of some kind. My instincts told me to leave immediately, and I ran out of there faster than I ever had in my life. I never did find out who they were or what they were doing, and honestly, I don't think I ever want to know. Story 23. This was back when camcorders were still in use, right before camera phones became common. We had one that everyone used to film our adventures. One day we were at a friend's place, and he happened to have the camcorder. Someone suggested we watch some old footage, so he hooked it up to the television and started playing it. He went back to his desk while several of us rewatched the silly things we had recorded. Everyone was laughing as we skipped through the tape until suddenly the room went quiet. Without warning, we saw an intimate video playing. My friend must have realized what was on the screen because he ran over and immediately yanked the camcorder away. He denied being part of the recording and said he was going to hide the tape to protect someone's privacy. We all agreed, but it was clear to everyone it was either his girlfriend or himself, since the angle showed nothing beyond a very close frame. To this day, nobody mentions it, at least not when he is around. Story 24. I once witnessed something so disturbing that I felt I had to act immediately. At the time, I was homeless in Berkeley, California, and was invited to stay at an abandoned radio station. At first, everyone there cooperated well, but after the two founders left to hitchhike, others, many of them heavy substance users, moved in and turned the place into a hangout for dangerous activity. 2 men began using the back rooms to run substances, leaving the common areas for parties. After returning from a rally, I found the building full of unfamiliar faces, most of them runaways, some barely teenagers. Everyone seemed dazed, and I was confronted by someone aggressive who demanded to know who I was. Nervous, I gave the names of the only people I knew, but they weren't there. Desperate, I checked one more room, and what I saw inside horrified me. A group of people, including young runaways surrounded by substances and clear exploitation. I backed out immediately, shaken, and told the others I was leaving. I went straight to find the nearest police officer and reported everything I had seen. At the station, I gave a detailed account, even drawing a map of the layout and identifying as many people as I could. Once I finished, I was told I could leave town that night. It remains one of the most intense moments of my life. Story 25. This one is more lighthearted compared to others, but still unforgettable. I work for a company that keeps new projects tightly guarded. Most employees, myself included, only have limited access to information until announcements are made public. One day I got a call from someone I didn't know in another building, saying that a vendor had mistakenly delivered something meant for my department to theirs. They told me to come pick it up. When I arrived, the person I had spoken to wasn't there, so another employee cracked open the door and asked what I needed. After a few minutes of explanation, they finally sighed and let me in. The building turned out to be the design and planning center for a huge project. The walls were covered in concept art, some for things that had already been announced, others that the public had only speculated about. I collected my package but was quickly rushed back out. I can't say what I saw because it's still confidential and I enjoy keeping my job, but it was one of the most exciting days I've had at work and definitely a story I'll never forget. Story 26. In the 1990s, I worked one summer in the information technology department of a major pharmaceutical company. We were updating every computer on the campus, and I was responsible for the ones that had been isolated or were on small private networks. It was the year Windows 95 came out, but we were only upgrading people to Windows 3.11, usually by dropping a new network card into their machines. One morning, I was assigned to update the computers in the research and development building on the far side of campus. The lab I had to reach was deep underground, at least 3 or 4 levels down. So I went through multiple layers of security, received a pass card, and was sent alone to the elevator. It was a slow, stable lift, barely giving the sensation of movement. When the doors opened, I stepped into an impossibly long cinder block hallway with walls at least 2 or 3 stories high. Everything felt heavy and oppressive, like something secretive was happening down there. The dim flickering lights gave the place a surreal look, and I noticed a strange high-pitched sound in the background. As I walked, I passed sealed vault doors spaced about every 30 feet, each with a keypad and early biometric scanners. Each door had a thick circular window, maybe 3 inches across, and through them I could see dimly lit rooms. Inside were cages, stacked and lined up, full of animals. The first rooms were mostly cats and dogs. Some appeared healthy, but others looked altered, missing limbs with sores or growths. Through the distortion of the glass, I thought I could see some restrained onboards, their bodies open for observation, yet still alive. Further down the hall, the rooms contained monkeys and apes in similar conditions. The sound I had noticed earlier suddenly grew louder as one of the vault doors opened with a rush of air. A technician stepped out, and I realized the noise was not machinery at all. It was the screaming of countless animals inside. The technician, looking disheveled and intense, wore a lab coat and carried a pistol at his side. His hand immediately went to the weapon when he saw me, though he did not draw. He reminded me of a scene out of a movie. Wild eyes, mid-50s, greasy hair, clearly on edge. I quickly showed my identification, and he sealed the room before escorting me deeper into the secured area. We passed through more locked doors like something from a biohazard film until we reached a lab where 3 other researchers worked. They too were armed and immediately stopped me from approaching their machines. They accused me of sneaking into the facility, of trying to steal or falsify their research data. Their paranoia was overwhelming. I set the network card and floppy disk with the update onto their workbench, not daring to argue. The technician then walked me all the way back to the elevator, always keeping about 4 feet behind me, as if expecting me to turn and attack at any moment. I rode back up and left, shaken. That day I knew I had seen far more than I was ever meant to see. Story 27. I was at a Thanksgiving lunch with coworkers at P.F. Chang's. I worked at the front desk of a doctor's office and was dating a coworker from the same area. Most of the staff attended, including several doctors from the group. Time went on, we ate, we drank, and then we drank some more. By late afternoon, around 4 or 5, people started leaving for other plans. We had been there since noon, and at that point, it was just me, my girlfriend, another girl who was a surgical coordinator, a doctor, and a physician assistant. The surgical coordinator, let's call her M, was around our age in her mid-20s. My girlfriend and I were friends with her and her long-term boyfriend, so we had hung out with them many times. The doctor was the youngest of the physician group, in his early 40s, a likable guy with a reputation among some co-workers as attractive. He had a wife and two daughters under 5 at the time, one just about a year old. Eventually, the physician assistant left, leaving just the four of us. My girlfriend and I were pretty tipsy, wrapped up in each other and not paying much attention. At one point, I casually looked around and nearly choked on my drink when I saw the doctor and M right next to us, kissing passionately. I quietly whispered to my girlfriend, who at first didn't believe me until she saw it herself. I don't know if we were too obvious or if they realized they were going too far in public, but within minutes, the doctor suddenly said, "It's getting late. I'm going to head home." M quickly followed with, "Yeah, me too. I have to get to family." We acted casual, telling them goodnight, but as soon as they walked out the door, we rushed to the windows and saw them head together to M's car. They sat there for several minutes before the doctor left and walked to his own car. My girlfriend and I waited a little while before leaving ourselves. We never told anyone, though later we had to face his wife a few times. No one was harmed, but at the time it was shocking and scandalous to witness. Story 28. This happened while on vacation with my family in Florida. On our last night, we went to the beach to watch the sunset, something we typically did. At that time of year, the beach was usually deserted. My wife, kids, and I were taking photos when I noticed two other people far down the beach. One woman was taking photos of another. As I framed a shot, I realized through the viewfinder that the woman being photographed didn't have her top on, and possibly not much else either. I whispered to my wife, and she confirmed it. A few minutes later, a jogger passed by their spot, and there was a scramble for a towel. What made it stand out to me was not just the lack of clothing, but the way the woman was posing. These weren't casual beach snapshots. They looked more like professional modeling poses, elongated stretches, deliberate angles, not something one friend typically photographs of another. As a result, our family vacation pictures ended up with grainy images of a topless woman in the background. I realized later that those poses were probably meant for professional content, the kind people are supposed to pay to see. It was definitely not something I expected to stumble across during a family beach outing. Story 29. One night I was leaving a bar with my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, after celebrating my sister's birthday. As we walked toward where the car was parked, we noticed a group of guys sitting on the front bumper of a car near ours. I didn't think much of it and got into the car, followed by my wife in the driver's seat. When I looked at her, she was pale and staring straight ahead without saying anything. The men ended up helping us back the car out so we wouldn't bump another vehicle, and then we drove off. Once we were out of there, I asked her what was wrong. She told me she had seen one of the guys hand a firearm to another, who quickly hid it under a rag or towel he had in front of him. I remembered seeing the rag but hadn't thought anything of it. We called the police right away, and since there was already a patrol in the area, they responded quickly. 6 officers showed up and found 2 unregistered firearms along with 3 people who had outstanding warrants. It turned out they were planning to ambush someone still inside the bar after a heated argument. I had to admire how calm my wife stayed until we were safely away, because I'm not sure I would have kept my composure the same way. Story 30. A friend and I were walking down the street late at night when we thought we heard firecrackers. The sounds came in quick succession, and we weren't sure, but within seconds, a white SUV came speeding down the road at 1 in the morning, followed closely by a black SUV. We knew immediately that we needed to get out of there fast. Our town is small, so by the next day we had heard the news. There had been a shootout between rival groups using automatic weapons. If my friend and I had kept walking the way we were, we would have been caught in the middle of it. It was infuriating to know that we could have lost our lives simply because others decided to settle disputes with guns in public. To make matters worse, our school went into lockdown shortly afterward because someone opened fire on a house and killed a man. The shooter was arrested and admitted he had targeted the wrong house. It turned out the victim was a relative of one of our classmates. Knowing he died for no reason only made the whole situation more tragic. Story 31. When I was about 10 years old, we had a family computer that everyone took turns using. One day I was bored and browsing through the files, probably waiting for someone to reply to me on MSN. I stumbled across a folder hidden in a strange location. Curiosity took over, and I clicked it open. Inside was another folder, and then another. And before I knew it, I was following a long trail deeper and deeper through the directories. Eventually, I reached two folders, one empty and the other with a couple of video files. Without thinking, I opened the first video. At first, the footage was shaky and low quality, but then the view steadied, and I immediately recognized my brother's room. I assumed it might be something embarrassing, like him singing, acting, or doing a silly stunt. Instead, to my horror, the video showed something extremely private that I had never expected to see. I was frozen, disgusted, and unable to look away, like watching a terrible accident you can't unsee. After a few seconds, I closed everything, logged out, and shut down the computer. I never told anyone what I had seen, and for weeks I couldn't even look my brother in the eye. Even now, almost 20 years later, the memory has stayed with me. Story 32. A former roommate's friend once stored several narrow wooden crates and spray-paint-covered plastic bins in his storage shed. One night, while moving them with a defective dolly, a load fell, crashing onto the walkway and rolling into a shallow runoff drain. To my shock, equipment for substance production spilled out of the unlatched bins, while sawed-off firearms and ammunition tumbled from a split crate. I acted as if I hadn't noticed anything, pretending it was too dark to see clearly. The guys panicked and yelled in my face, warning me not to go through the side yard. Since it was the last dolly load, I was told to lock the shed, but my roommate later tried to cover for me by saying he had told me to go through the house instead of the side path. The property itself was caught up in foreclosure paperwork, so everyone expected to vacate within a month and a half. I was so anxious to leave that situation behind. Story 33. There was a time when I developed a crush on someone I met during a camp. She had a quiet, almost shy presence, and people tended to view her as very reserved. Back then, phones weren't seen as particularly private, and most people only used them for simple snapshots. One day, while we were in the dining area, she left her phone on the table. Out of curiosity, I noticed a folder with an ordinary label. Expecting to see a few casual pictures, I opened it without really thinking. Instead, I stumbled across private images of her in different poses, each with file names like sultry, meditative, or cute. They weren't selfies either. The shots had clearly been taken from several feet away, showing her fully. I froze and had a near panic attack before quickly closing everything and putting the phone back down. I still liked her afterward, but I could never bring myself to talk to her the same way again. Knowing what I had seen made me too nervous, and I kept that discovery to myself. Story 34. Let me preface this by saying my car has darkly tinted rear windows. I bought it specifically so I could see out the back without anyone being able to see inside. One Monday around midday, my girlfriend and I drove to a local state park with a river you could swim in. Since it was the middle of the week, there weren't many people around. At lunchtime, caterpillars started swarming our picnic table, so we decided to sit inside my car to eat. As we were talking, we noticed a very young couple, both around 20, walking by with a baby. Curious if they could see through the tint, we watched as the woman walked right up to my door before continuing on. After that, we forgot about them. A little while later, as we were finishing lunch, my girlfriend suddenly said, "I can see him changing." I looked up and saw the young man fully undressing by his car, only three spaces away, despite a restroom being just 100 feet off. We laughed at the absurdity of it as he switched outfits in the open. Then I noticed the woman grab a bag and begin to change her clothes too. My girlfriend quickly turned around and the two of us laughed as the couple got into their car. Before they drove off, we decided to roll down the windows and reveal that we had been sitting there the whole time. Their faces instantly went pale, realizing they hadn't been nearly as private as they thought. The strangest part was that their child had been in the back seat the entire time. Story 35. When I was 35 weeks pregnant, I was doing a side job holding a sign on a street corner. One day, since my mom had borrowed my car, I walked the mile back to our house. When I got inside, I noticed letters scattered across the floor, which seemed odd, but I didn't think much of it at first. My younger brother's friend, who was about 30, had been staying with us after losing his house. He was also grieving the recent loss of his dog. I called out for him, knowing he was probably home. As I reached the top of the basement stairs where he was staying, he suddenly screamed, "Don't come down here!" and a gunshot went off. I ran downstairs and found him on the floor, injured. Panicking but determined, I called emergency services and pressed against the wound, sobbing as I tried to keep him conscious. He looked at me with a blank expression and whispered that I wasn't supposed to be there. The rest of my family had gone to a friend's wedding, and I had stayed behind because of work. After the ambulance took him, I sat on the porch, unable to function, until I saw my family's cars pull up. When my mom stepped out, I completely broke down. Amazingly, he survived. He had missed his heart by barely half a centimeter. Today, he is married and has 3 children. But that moment is still burned into my memory. Story 36. When I was around 10 or 11, I woke up one night to the sound of my mom crying and pleading. Scared and confused, I went to see what was happening. In the living room, I saw my dad hitting her. At first, they didn't notice me, but when I ran forward and yelled at him to stop, he threatened me too. My mom quickly told me to go back to bed. After it was over, he grabbed his keys and left the house, something he often did when angry. That always made me wonder if he was seeing someone else. I ran to my mom and cried with her as she called my aunt's husband, sobbing into the phone. The next morning at school, I couldn't last 10 minutes before breaking down again, and a friend had to take me to the bathroom to calm me down. Later that same day, my dad picked us up in his red Trans Am, trying to make up for what had happened. My parents were on the verge of divorcing at the time. His gesture didn't change anything for me. I didn't care at all, but my sister, who was 12 or 13 then and didn't know what was going on, was happy about it. I'm 16 now, and I've since learned that he attacked my mom because he believed she was cheating on him. That made me question everything I thought I knew. To make things worse, I've caught him using dating apps and talking to other women, but when I told my mom, she ignored it. He now tries to act friendly with me, but I can't bring myself to care. The whole situation has left me struggling with trust issues, even toward my best friends and my own sister. Story 37. I once worked at a fishing resort where my boss was blatantly avoiding taxes. I was fixing plumbing under the main office when I overheard her telling a longtime client that if they paid in cash, they wouldn't have to pay taxes. Over time, I heard her say the same thing to many clients. Eventually, she either realized I knew or simply didn't care, because she started having me burn records of cash-paying customers. These included doc sheets showing what they purchased, things like bait, gas, and other receipts she had used for tracking payments. By my second year, she was openly asking me for advice on how to disguise things as expenses. She would claim she had bought cords of wood from locals, when in fact she had me and another worker chop down trees ourselves. She claimed to have purchased new canoes, even though the ones in question had been sitting unused on a hillside for 15 years. She wanted to classify these things as business expenses to reduce her taxes. By my third year, the situation came to a breaking point. One day I was mowing the lawn and pulled out my phone to check the time, since we didn't have cell service or internet out there, and the boss refused to pay for better utilities. A passing customer saw me holding my phone and told her. The next day, she accused me of playing games on the job and refused to believe that I was only checking the time. She fired me on the spot. When I got home, the first thing I did was file a report with the Canadian Revenue Agency, filling out the tax evasion form and offering every detail I had. I explained in the report that I was willing to testify in court and give them 3 years' worth of information. Based on what I knew, it would have been an open and shut case of $100,000 to $200,000 in unclaimed income every year, along with wage theft and other issues. I don't know if the report ever led to anything, because she passed away 3 years after I quit and her family sold the business. But I made sure the authorities had all the information I could provide. Story 38. When I was in high school, I used to arrive super early, sometimes around 5 in the morning, because my ride had to work before school started. Since classes didn't begin until 8, I often wandered the building and would sometimes nap in dark hallways. Many of the overhead lights were out, so the halls were dim, lit only slightly by nearby classrooms. One morning while resting, I heard a noise and decided to investigate, figuring it was just someone opening their locker. As I turned the corner of an L-shaped hallway, I unexpectedly came across a couple of freshman girls changing clothes. They must have thought the hallway was empty. It was extremely awkward for all of us. I was a sophomore, painfully shy, and I didn't say a word. Just walked past, doing my best not to seem strange. Later, I realized they were likely rushing to make their early physical education class at 7, which explained why they were changing there. At the time, it made no sense to me, but in hindsight, it was just convenience. By the end of that school year, I had gotten to know them better, and despite the initial awkwardness, we actually became friends. Story 39. There was a time when I spent a lot of time with a pair of close friends. One day, we were hanging out with another kid who didn't really have many friends. We were joking around about things we didn't fully understand, not realizing how serious some of it was. At one point, the conversation shifted toward inappropriate topics, and he casually mentioned having a collection of tapes at his house. What unsettled me most was when he hinted that one of them involved people close to him in a way that clearly wasn't right. We didn't believe him at first, but he ended up putting the tape in. To our shock, it showed exactly what he said, something deeply inappropriate and disturbing involving his family members. We were horrified. None of us ever went back to his house after that. For months afterward, whenever we rode past his place on our bikes, we avoided eye contact with his parents. Even though it's been years, the memory of what we saw has stuck with me, and I wish we had never pushed him to show us those tapes. Story 40. My friend and I were at Disneyland on Veterans Day. We decided to ride the Matterhorn and had just reached the part right before the tunnel where they launch you. Suddenly, the ride stopped, and over the speakers, they announced it was closed. People in line began leaving, and we asked the ride operator to let us out of the car. He told us to wait. Then walls started going up all around the ride, blocking it off from view. The people who had been ahead of us were already gone. I started to call out again, but my friend told me to stay quiet so we could see what was happening. After a long wait, we saw a gurney being wheeled out with a body covered by a bloody sheet, the fabric sticking wetly to the figure underneath. Later, while waiting in another line, we ended up near some people connected to the incident. They explained that their cousin had lost his hat, and their aunt had gone back on the ride to try to grab it. She fell, and the next car hit her. Months later, I saw a lawsuit reported in the newspaper with the same details, confirming what we had witnessed. Snopes and other sources eventually listed the story, but I remember clearly that it happened on Veterans Day. That day stuck with me, because for years afterward, it was the only day my friend and I would go, since teachers received half-off admission and his mom was a teacher. What I saw that day has never left me. Story 41. When I was about 13 or 14, I was on my mom's laptop. It was an early MacBook from back when programs like iMovie were new and had simple features that let anyone add wacky effects to make silly images or videos. My mom had made a bunch of videos with an alien character she called Magda, and I thought they were hilarious, just her being goofy. They reminded me of those internet comedy skits that didn't have a clear storyline, but were funny because of their randomness. Since my mom trusted me, and I trusted her, I felt pretty independent at that age. I went looking for more Magda clips. What I found instead was something I was never supposed to see, part of a personal video of my mom with my then stepdad. At first, I was just confused seeing him setting up the camera with his shirt off, but when I skipped ahead, it became clear what it was. I immediately closed it in shock, and from that day on, I never opened iMovie again. Even years later, the memory of accidentally stumbling on that video is burned into my mind. Story 42. When I was about 11 or 12, my mom left her phone unattended in her room, which was unusual because she usually carried it everywhere. Curiosity got the better of me, and I managed to guess her passcode. Looking through it, I found search history and downloads that revealed she had been watching content involving women. I also came across text messages between her and her best friend at the time, who was female, and the conversations were clearly romantic. About a year later, they had a falling out that I now believe was actually a breakup they kept hidden, since both were married. I never told anyone about what I had discovered. Years later, when I was 18, I grew suspicious again and hacked into her Facebook account. This time I found explicit and romantic messages with her ex-boyfriend from high school. I told my dad, and he discovered that she had been lying about working extra shifts. Instead, she had been renting hotel rooms to meet him for about 8 months. My dad kicked her out, and she ended up moving in with the man she had been seeing. She has been living with him ever since. Story 43. I was manning an internal entry control point on a large multinational airbase in southern Afghanistan. My job as a driver was to move between posts along the flight line, acting as a show of force and helping fellow Marines with searches. It was mostly uneventful. Our only count was how many flies we managed to swat during shifts. The base was fairly secure, with occasional indirect fire, but nothing serious. We had internet, showers, and even air conditioning. One night, out of boredom, I switched on the infrared cameras in the front of our MATV. After a few moments, I spotted a group of five or six men moving quickly in a line near the wire, close to where many local workers stayed. These were Afghan civilians who paved roads and did other jobs on base. But the way this group moved struck me as odd, hunched over, creeping, and in what looked like formation, especially at 2 or 3 in the morning. It set off alarms in my mind. I got out and told the Marines on post what I had seen. They brushed it off, laughing and not taking me seriously, partly, I think, because I was female. They carried on as though nothing unusual had happened. Several months later, after my unit rotated out, our replacements were attacked at that very post. The hangar was hit, and there was significant damage. I often think back to what I saw on those cameras and wonder if it was connected. If anyone had taken the sighting seriously and investigated, maybe something would have been discovered before that attack. Story 44. I was staying at a friend's apartment a few hours from home. He lived with his brother, and since he shared a bed with his girlfriend, I slept on an air mattress in his brother's room. That seemed preferable to being in the same room as my friend and his girlfriend at night. Around 2 or 3 in the morning, I woke up needing to use the bathroom. The light in the ensuite bathroom was on, and the door was slightly open. Half asleep, I assumed his brother had just left the light on. Without thinking, I opened the door. Inside, I saw his brother sitting in the bathtub with his back turned, and it sounded like he was crying. Not wanting to make things worse, I quietly closed the door again and went downstairs to use the guest bathroom. When I came back up, he was still inside, so I went back to bed. The next morning, while getting ready, I went into that same bathroom to shower and brush my teeth. That's when I noticed a razor in the tub with dried blood around it. I realized I had walked in on his brother harming himself the night before. Later, I saw him at breakfast, wearing a long-sleeved shirt, and I chose not to say anything. At the time, we weren't very close, and I didn't want to make things more difficult for him. Over the years, though, we grew closer, and eventually he opened up to me about his depression and history of self-harm. He showed me his scars and told me about the struggles he had faced. Thankfully, he has since gotten professional help and is doing much better. I never told him that I had accidentally seen him in that moment years earlier. I felt it was something best left unspoken, a part of the past that didn't need to be revisited. Story 45. I remember this clearly. I was in high school, a sophomore around 15 or 16 years old, sitting in my geometry class. The regular teacher had just gone on maternity leave, so we had a substitute who was actually another teacher from the school. I liked her a lot. I was sitting front and center with a perfect view of the door when something happened that I will never forget. One student suddenly walked up to another and struck him hard on the head with a metal pipe. The blow was so strong that the pipe bent. Blood started flowing quickly, and he later needed stitches. The two had fought before and were known troublemakers, so both ended up suspended. My substitute teacher, who had previously been an army nurse, shoved the attacker out of the room and immediately began giving first aid to the injured student. Nobody else said a word. We were all in shock. The look in the attacker's eyes terrified me. It was clear he had wanted to do more harm. I was supposed to take a test later that day, but I never did. My parents were called, and the entire class was required to write statements about what had happened. We were kept in the gym for more than an hour and a half while the school went into lockdown. My sister heard about it and was worried, but thankfully, the attacker wasn't targeting anyone else. That evening, I had to return to school for my twin sister's academic ceremony. My parents understood my fear, but encouraged me to go since I'd have to face it the next day anyway. Even the principal asked if I was okay. I said yes, but it was shocking. Our school had never experienced anything close to that level of violence. The injured student recovered and was later suspended again after trying to fight the same person. I'm fine now too, though the memory stuck with me. Sometimes I still tell people the story because it was so unexpected and intense.